Hello everybody, this is Pascal Girard's message for Sunday the 15th of May. Our text today is the story of a general in the Syrian army who was successful in his career and who came to Israel at the time of the prophet Elisha because he heard that this prophet could heal a disease deemed incurable. It is also the story of a Jewish man who allowed himself to be blinded by wealth. The two men, Naaman, the general, and Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, had made important decisions, some leading to peace, others to misery. Firstly, a brave young woman. Naaman was one of the most influential and powerful people of the time. He was a general in the Syrian army. If Naaman were alive today, newspapers and news programs would often talk about him. Naaman did not succeed just because he was a very good strategist and he knew how to lead people. God reveals this reason to us. We read in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1, "Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy." This reminds us once again that it is God who directs the destinies of this world, as Daniel said in his prayer. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. Daniel chapter 2, verse 21. We quickly see how people are divided and, as a result, people have to live in terrible difficulty, without a homeland, impoverished, without hope. Tensions seem to be growing within countries. It is sometimes impossible to form stable governments. Tensions between countries also seem insurmountable. The peace that people long for is increasingly unattainable. But we should never forget one thing. Despite the chaos that we humans cause, God never loses control. He will reach his goal and keep his promises. Despite everything that scares us, we are safe in trusting God, and we know the lack of peace that people who travel without God do not have. Well, Naaman was blessed. But for some unknown reason, God helped him achieve great victories and great successes. But one thing darkened the life of this man. He had leprosy. In the house of Naaman worked a Jewish slave, visibly filled with compassion for her master and who wished that he could recover. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." We must already recognize that God had not prevented her from being reduced to slavery, but her trust in God was surprisingly intact. For her, it was obvious that the prophet Elisha could help Naaman. With this conviction, she was unfortunately part of a minority who trusted her own God, even among the people of Israel. The Israelites worshipped other gods. Even the kings of Israel preferred to consult idolaters when seeking divine counsel. The great confidence of this young woman who worked for Naaman is all the more astonishing. Naaman's wife reacted immediately, as it was a beacon of hope in a seemingly hopeless situation. She told her husband about it, who immediately went to the king of Syria and asked permission to go to Israel. The king accepted and gave him a letter addressed to the king of Israel, in which it was written, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you, so that you may cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to Samaria and delivered the letter to the king of Israel. After reading the letter, the king tore his robe and exclaimed, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me?" The shock was deep, and we can always take comfort in thinking that at least the king of Israel knew that the power over death and life belongs to God. It is all the more astonishing under these conditions that he did not send messengers to Elisha. If the girl who became a slave knew Elisha, we can assume that the king knew Elisha too. But instead of asking God through Elisha what to do, he preferred to complain, to moan. A behaviour that can also happen to us. We are in trouble and we try to overcome the problems ourselves, which is obviously not a bad approach. But we can also explain our difficult situations to God according to what the psalmist tells us. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Psalm 62, verse 8. We can note what this woman, reduced to slavery, was set in motion by her trust in the God of Israel. A small gesture of trust that had a big impact. This woman can teach us something important. Faith, trust in God, is expressed in small steps. Sometimes it is enough to point out to people that God could help them, that Jesus would give them new life. We must not wait to be able to explain the whole gospel, to dare to speak. We need to have a simple spiritual conversation first, and that is how we may be able to trigger the big questions. Secondly, a powerful and shrewd man. Elisha, made aware of the situation, sent his servant to the king's court to ask him to send Naaman to him. So Naaman went to the house of Elisha. Elisha again sent his servant to Naaman and said to him, Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, go wash yourself seven times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored to you, and you will be cleansed. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 10. A message transmitted by a servant of Elisha to Naaman, this high personage, and Naaman began to regret having moved. Fortunately, he himself was accompanied by wise servants who probably waited until his outburst was over and tried to change his mind. Naaman's servants went to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 13. And are we also surrounded by people who have the right to tell us something, to make us aware of the reality or of our erroneous reasonings? Naaman was ready to listen to these men. He was taken to the Jordan and immersed himself in the water seven times. Sure enough, the miracle happened. So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan seven times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 14. Total recovery. No, even more than that, a real sensational rejuvenation cure, well-being at the highest level. God had acted towards him beyond all hope, and Naaman returned to Elisha and confessed his faith. He had realized what Israel had known for a long time. The God of Israel is the only God on all the earth. But Israel had sought help from all the other gods, except the eternal God. True, Naaman had been stubborn too, but he had taken the time to listen and let his servants bring him to his senses. Israel, on the other hand, did not allow itself to be reasoned with. It did not listen to the prophets of God. Naaman's behaviour is not unknown to us. Often we have a certain idea of how we should be helped when we have a problem. Often we expect something very special to happen, but the solution usually lies in one small step that we should take ourselves. These are often the small steps of obedience. Naaman was ready to put aside his pride and do what Elisha told him to do. It wasn't the water of the Jordan that healed him. Otherwise, since that time, all the lepers could have immersed themselves seven times in the Jordan to be healed there. But this was not the case, as we read in Luke chapter 4, verse 27. Naaman was healed because he followed Elisha's instructions, and therefore God's instructions. The healing forces that make our soul healthy are hidden in the Word of God. In many situations in life, it's about finding out what God is saying, and then you have to do it. These are always small, unspectacular steps for which you have to make good decisions, which lead to what is almost unexpected. Thirdly, small steps can lead us in the right direction or have fatal consequences. Naaman, the Syrian general, had made the right decisions. After initially rebelling, he followed Elisha's instructions. Unlike the people of Israel, this Gentile was willing to listen to God's prophet and follow his instructions. This is why Naaman was healed. Now there is another man in this story called Gehazi. But before talking a little about him, it should be noted that Naaman did not leave immediately for Syria, but he wanted to thank Elisha first. It was clear to him that this healing, which occurred without special rituals or magic, could only be wrought by the eternal God. Naaman confessed the God of Israel, and he wanted to express his gratitude by giving a gift to Elisha. But Elisha would not accept gifts. He didn't even explain why he didn't want to take anything. Maybe it was to show this man that you don't do business with the work of God. The action of God is priceless. God gives gifts to men. This is what Naaman must understand. Later, Jesus said to his disciples when sending them on a mission, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." Naaman seems to have immediately understood why Elisha did not want to be paid, because he asked him to take as much earth as 2 mules can carry to build in his country a place of sacrifice and worship for the God of Israel. Naaman had therefore not only regained his health, but his life changed radically. There happened what we today simply call a conversion. Naaman had abandoned his original religion and wanted to serve only the God of Israel. He only had one problem left. "But may the Lord forgive your servant for this one thing. When my master enters the temple of Rimmon to bow down, and he is leaning on my arm, and I have to bow there also, when I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord forgive your servant for this." 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 18. And Elisha let him go, blessing him. How could Elisha have imposed on this man a burden that even God's people were unwilling to bear? Israel voluntarily bowed down before the idols without having the impression of sinning by this gesture. He bowed down to these idols because he wanted to worship them, not because he had to. And Elisha showed more grace for Naaman than the Israelites themselves would have bestowed upon Naaman, and more grace sometimes than we ourselves bestow around us. It is then that Elisha's servant named Gehazi comes into action, for he must have witnessed, amazed, Elisha's renunciation of these precious gifts. He was a seemingly godly man who, with spiritual words, made an unspiritual decision and ran in the wrong direction. So he thought up a deception and recovered for his personal benefit a nice sum of money that Naaman, deceived, gave him. When Elisha met Gehazi, he knew what Gehazi had done, what a trick he had realized. For his wrongdoing, Gehazi had to bear Naaman's incurable disease. And he knew misery, impossible to find happiness and peace if we turn away from God. Gehazi's behaviour was typical behaviour of religious people. God once characterised this behaviour to the prophet Ezekiel. "My people come to you, as they usually do, and sit to hear your words, but they do not put them into practice. Their mouths speak of love, but their hearts are greedy for unjust gain." Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 31. Gehazi was driven by his greed and immediately experienced God's judgment in his own body. And we would do well, all the same, not to point the finger at Gehazi and to recognise the cases where we would be able to make such decisions and act in such a way. It's not as if such behaviours don't exist among us today, behaviours that lead us to succumb to unreasonable desires. Gehazi had unfortunately made the wrong decision. It was a small step that caused great misery. Final thought. First, it is striking to understand that the faith of Naaman's wife's servant and the faith of her servants have unleashed great things. Two men made important decisions. One decided to follow God's instructions and found peace. The other decided to forget God for a while and ended up in misery. Not only did Naaman regain his health, but he encountered the one God. It radically changed his life. It is sometimes said that in life, we must not forget the small beginnings. It is also clear that small steps can lead to big decisions and something remarkable. Amen.